All right, good morning, everybody. This is 8:30 a.m. on June 7th, 2024, and I call the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. This meeting is being virtually hosted using Zoom. The public has been properly noticed of the options to attend and observe the meeting. Ms. Poe, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dinar?
Present.
Dr. Medina? Dr. Stewart?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Dr. Davy?
Present.
Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Seidman?
Present.
Dr. Stenhoff?
Present.
Mr. Nguyen?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Poe. Remarks and announcements. Please keep in mind that the times stated on the agenda are approximate. The board makes every effort to begin proceedings at the scheduled time. The board may suspend the discussion of one agenda item, proceed to a timed item, and then return to the former agenda item at a later time. The board may also reorder non-timed items. Board members, thank you very much for continuing to use the raise hand feature, because I think it helps everybody and it helps all of the board members who wish to speak have a chance to speak. Regarding the board survey, the board encourages everyone in attendance today to provide feedback by completing the board assessment form, and you'll find the link on the meeting agenda that is posted on the board's website. I want to recognize all of the board members and staff and our Assistant Attorney General, Ms. Galvin, for the hard work and many hours of effort that goes into getting prepared for these meetings. We appreciate all of your time and effort. Regarding continuing education credit, I do not anticipate today's meeting to last more than 4 hours long, but should it go on for more than 4 hours, then please make a note of the code words provided throughout the meeting. The meeting is eligible for continuing education credit if it is at least 4 hours long. And to report the code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing education credit, look for the link on the board's meetings page for this particular meeting. Call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board will limit the number of persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. Pursuant to ARS Section 38-431.02, subsection H, the board may only take action on matters listed on the agenda. The board members may not discuss the matter with each other or with the member of the public addressing the board. The only option available is to instruct staff to place the topic on a future agenda if applicable. So now's the time. If you wish to speak, please unmute your line, state your name, and I'll call on you. Hearing none, let's go to item number five, Board Counsel's update. Ms. Galvin, do you have any updates?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I wanted to let you know that you do have two formal hearings that are scheduled. The first involves Dr. Nicole Huggins. The allegations are that she failed to comply with your order to submit to a fitness for duty evaluation. So that is set for June 17th, and the state is preparing the exhibits and will file those on Monday. That is before the Office of Administrative Hearings. And the second case involving Jamie Jones, a behavior analyst, that hearing is set for August 28th before the Office of Administrative Hearings. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. So let's go to number six, the consent agenda. Are there any recusals? Yes, Dr. Davy.
Thank you, Chairman Donna. Ms. Galvin, on the Jamie Jones issue, we had talked to board staff about potentially looking at a settlement. Did that fall apart?
It has not fallen apart, but we don't have a complete agreement at this time, but we continue to negotiate.
Thank you for that update. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Katerina.
I just had a correction on the minutes, but I might have jumped the gun.
Yes, let's go to number six, because I think there are some questions about item number five. Dr. Stenhoff?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm recused from 6A, the executive session minutes. Recused from that.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. And maybe Dr. Caterina, now would be the time.
Yes, I'm on the regular session minutes on point seven. It states that I voted on that, but I was recused from that item, on Dr. Huggins.
Thank you for that correction.
Thank you.
Any other recusals from the consent agenda? Hearing none, any board member may request to remove an item from the consent agenda for further discussion and action. Are there any such requests? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed, the motion carries. All right, since we do not have any timed items on the agenda, I'll just proceed with in the numerical order. Number seven, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding renewal application submitted by Cheryl Jones, PsyD. Ms. Poe, will you please provide the board with a summary?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. On May 6, 2024, Dr. Jones submitted her license renewal application, answering yes to question number 15 of the application, which asks, since the last license period, have you been sued or prosecuted for an act or omission relating to your practice as a psychologist, your work under a license or certificate in another profession, or your work as a member of a profession in which you are not licensed or certified? Dr. Jones answered yes and explained that a resident at the facility she works at filed a notice of claim in which she was one of several practitioners who were named. Dr. Jones' place of employment, the Arizona Community Protection and Treatment Center, is a forensically involved facility where residents are court-ordered for psychosexual treatment. The plaintiff who filed the notice of claim listed a number of alleged violations, which are detailed in the notice, which the licensee provided a copy of, and board members do have a copy of that. Dr. Jones stated that she's not received any further correspondence beyond the initial notice, which was filed in November of 2023. Dr. Jones is present today, and she is represented by counsel Christy Chait, who is also present. And that concludes my summary of the matter. Please let me know if any board members have questions. And I believe Ms. Chait and Dr. Jones may want to make a brief statement or be available for board member questions. And board staff is basically seeking direction from the board on whether this renewal application can be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Poe. Any questions for Ms. Poe? Hearing none, I see Dr. Jones and Ms. Chait, you're here. Thank you for being here. Please introduce yourselves for the record, and then you may make a brief statement.
My name is Christy Chait, and I am representing Dr. Jones, who's also on in this matter, and my firm is Jones, Skelton, and Hockley.
Thank you.
I'm working at the Arizona Community Protection and Treatment Center, which is where the plaintiff is a resident.
Thank you. You may make a statement, Ms. Chait or Dr. Jones, and then I'm sure some of us might have questions.
Briefly, I might just have Dr. Jones explain any of the medical or psychiatric care. I would just remind the board, I'm sure you're all familiar with this, that when a state or regulatory agency is sued, there needs to be a notice of claim that is sent. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's even going to be a lawsuit. Dr. Jones, I think in an abundance of caution, checked that box indicating that there was this matter. But, you know, technically, it is not a complaint. It is what is required by law if there's going to be a claim potentially made later against a state agency or
you know, any state group. So with that, I'll just have Dr. Jones give a brief summary of the care, if that's what the board would want. I just wanted to lay the groundwork on what this really involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Chait. So just as a reminder, we don't discuss a confidential health information in an open session. So if there is a way to anonymize or sort of speak in general terms, then I would encourage you to do so.
And of course. So the residents at the facility where I provide treatment are individuals who have been court ordered and civilly committed for psychosexual treatment as they have met the criteria for a sexually violent person. So in my role as the clinical director, I oversee the treatment for all of the residents regarding their participation and engagement in psychosexual treatment specific to that civil commitment. And that includes this plaintiff.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Jones from the board members? Yes, Dr. Katerina.
Dr. Jones, were you directly providing care to this individual or just a member of the staff?
I oversee the care that's directly provided. I may meet with the individual as clinically indicated in conjunction with their primary therapist or their assigned therapist. But directly, I don't provide individual therapy or group therapy to this individual unless they're assigned to a group that I happen to run. This particular resident has not been assigned to a group that I've run, and I've not provided individual therapy to him.
Thank you.
Dr. Seidman?
Thank you, Chairman Diner. Dr. Jones, are you a supervisor for those folks, or are you overseeing the program?
I oversee the program and am their supervisor.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? All right, let's go into deliberation and discussion. Maybe I'll get us started. So I think, I mean, the notice of claim procedure is fairly standard for government employees. I mean, you know, when somebody sues the Board of Psychologist Examiners, for example, I mean, there's, you know, some procedure similar to that. So I commend Dr. Jones for informing the board promptly and complying with our psychology statutes for informing us. And I would sort of lean in favor of not taking any action on this information that we have received. Dr. Davey.
Thank you, Chairman Diner. I couldn't agree more. I think this, out of abundance of caution, she checked the box. She's keeping us informed. I see no reason why we would hold this up. I think our one ask would be is as this progresses, just to keep the board informed of how this kind of goes down in the weeks and months ahead. And but yeah, I see no reason why we should hold this up.
Dr. Stewart.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Diner. Yeah, I certainly agree with Mr. Diner, as you know, and the board members, there's no reason to hold this up. I think it's, you know, pro forma that these things happen and they're not an unusual occurrence. And I'd certainly be in favor of going ahead and approving the renewal of the license. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion or motion? Dr. Katerina.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept Dr. Jones' application for renewal.
Second.
Would that, would that also include a request that she keep the board informed of the proceedings and the outcome?
Yes. Can I add that with the caveat that she continues to inform the board of any changes and decisions made in this claim?
Thank you.
My second still stands.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed. The motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Jones, and thank you, Ms. Chait.
Thank you.
So let's go to number 8, discussion, consideration, and possible action on recommendation of the Committee on Behavior Analysts to deny the application submitted by Ashley Fiorilli for failure to pay application fee and for other documentation deficiencies. And Dr. Stenhoff is the lead on this. So will you please provide us with an overview?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. On March 29th of 2024, the Committee on Behavior Analysts reviewed the file and recommended the board that we deny the application submitted by Dr. Ashley Fiorilli. The basis for the denial or the applicant failed to submit to the board the required documentation to demonstrate having met the qualifications for behavior analyst licensure. And additionally, she took back or clawed back the required application fee paid by credit card by filing a charge dispute with her bank, and additionally made false statements in the dispute in the process. For example, indicated that services were not received, purchased an application review through the psych board, indicated it wasn't reviewed and provided any communication. In your packet, you'll note that there was, in fact, communication between the board and the applicant. Additionally, ARS 32-2091.01C states that the board shall not refund a fee. The purpose of the application fee is to address the costs associated with the receipt, administrating processing, and review of the application, as well as the cost of the substantive review of the application by the relevant committee members. Given that she withdrew her required fee pursuant to the Arizona law, the committee recommended that she submit the required $350 application processing fee by February 20th of 2024. And or second option was to spend no fee, in which the case the board will present this matter, or the committee will or the board will hear the review and take possible action. This may include application of a disciplinary action published on the board's website for 5 years and report to the National Practitioner Database and Behavior Analyst Certification Board. On page 21 of the PDF, it indicated that a claim for charges of $350 were withdrawn. The recommendation for the committee still stands that the board take appropriate action to pursue the collection of the required fee through legal means if necessary. And this ends my summary, and I'm happy to answer further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. Any questions for Dr. Stenhoff? Hearing none, I see Ms. Fiorilli is here. Oh, sorry, Dr. David.
Dr. Stenhoff, just the last page of the PDF packet, thank you, Mr. Chair, that seems to show that Ms. Fiorilli requested they drop the dispute and that has the 350 been deposited back to us?
Yeah, Dr. Davey, thank you. That's a question I had as well. And board staff, are you able to answer that question at this time regarding that $350?
Dr. Davey and board members, so we have not received a notification yet from the bank about the credit. I don't know how long that process typically takes. I do want to note for the record that in the applicant's early response with Ms. Packinen, she did indicate she would withdraw that dispute. However, that did not actually occur at that time. It was not until after Ms. Packinen informed the applicant that the board would be reviewing this matter that the dispute, that she withdrew this dispute. But at this time, I don't have any information from the bank that we've received that credit yet.
Thank you. Any further questions for Dr. Stenhoff? Hearing none, I see Ms. Fiorilli, you're here. Thank you for being here. So you may make a statement or maybe, you know, start by addressing the question that was posed up to you. But please introduce yourself and then you can make a statement.
Hi. Yes. Can everybody hear me? Yes. So Dr. Ashley Fiorilli, I am here for this matter. To my understanding, the bank has released the funds back. I submitted a letter that I received that saying that the charge had been reversed. Based off of the last conversation, they said that it would take up to, I can't remember exactly, but it was like 90 days or something. And so I had let Heidi, I can't pronounce her last name, Ms. Packerson, know that it might not be present at the time of this meeting, but the letter was there to signal that this was completed. When I had the email correspondence in February, I did say that there was going to be the reversal of the dispute because the time had passed since when the dispute was actually filed. And when I got the email from the board, which was roughly like a month or so, I had to call the bank and do the dispute over the phone with them. I have a case number for all of that. I was told in February that that was adjusted and taken care of. I'd never heard back from the board based off of requiring specific documentation until the end of April when I was notified to be on the board agenda. So that is where then I could get back in contact with the board's contact, Heidi, to figure these pieces out when I called back my bank because I don't know what happened, but the original dispute was not processed when I called back in February. So I had to wait and go through that whole process again, having a different case number, which I presented a document full of all of these pieces in an email to Heidi. So I'm hoping that everybody has that. And so that is then where they sent the letter and told me that it would take an extended period of time to reverse that. So I'm kind of at a loss of what else I can do to ensure that the funds get back to you guys. I feel like this is a big misunderstanding in lots of different ways. I don't know if you have the documentation, but if you do, please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Fiorilli? Yes, Dr. Steigman.
Hi, Dr. Fiorilli. In the materials that we received, were you aware that any request to withdraw an application has to be approved by the board? So you went and withdrew it yourself, your application?
Yes, I got an email after the emailing in February with Heidi. I got another email saying that my application was incomplete. And I responded to that individual that I no longer needed it because I was not seeking to supervise somebody in Arizona because I know that was the original intent. So I went through the portal and saw the withdrawal application piece and selected that and then informed the individual that I no longer needed to move forward with the application process.
Thank you.
Dr. Davey.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, are you currently a board certified behavior analyst?
Yes, I'm in California. And so I've been a board certified behavior analyst since 2009. The reason for filling out the application is I was speaking with a potential supervisee that lived in Arizona, and I know that there are different state licensing laws, and I did not want to operate as a behavior analyst without a license. I was going to supervise somebody, which started this whole process, and then ended up not moving forward with that supervisee candidate, which is then where I no longer need the licensure for Arizona.
Yes, and so to Mr. Seddon's point earlier, once you received information that your application was incomplete from our side of it, when we were looking to be able to process it, at that particular point, there was several back and forths with board staff with regard to documentation and different areas that just seemed like there was less than clear communication as to what your intent was. And then in terms of the attempt for you to claw back the processing fee, what was your rationale for that?
I had originally sent an email actually asking for support from the board because I hadn't heard from them for the application. This is where I was still in pursuit of potentially working with the supervisee. And I had not heard back from the board. And so at that point, I did not need it once everything was figured out. So I decided to dispute the charge because I hadn't heard back from the board. I didn't need it. And I didn't understand that it was non-refundable at that point. So I did think that it was not a service that was provided based off of that. And the clarity of the documentation required past the 7-year BACB requirement to hold on to your supervision documents. I didn't understand those requirements through the Arizona board, and that's on me. And so the decision to dispute was my perception of not getting the initial communication through the board, and not needing it and having to obviously pay for something that wasn't being provided. And so that was the decision that was made at that time.
Well, yeah. So I would just like to point out two things. One, because you became a VCB in 2009, there's actually a mechanism for us to accept your application without your original verification supervision documents for the reason you just put forward. And so I do not want to lose the ability to have a qualified licensed behavior analyst in the state. So I want to make sure you understand that. Second, I would also just remind you that part of us being able to adjudicate things is being able to get all the information. And the pieces that we are missing per our electronic system showed that we received your statement of citizenship. We got your evidence around that. We got your photograph, but we just did not receive verification of your certification. And then obviously you mentioned the supervised experience or ever received an official transcript. So that was really what triggered us to kind of pause and say, all right, we can't go forward until we receive that kind of information. And so I just want to make sure that we're clear on that, that that's what stopped the process on our end. Thank you very much. I have no other questions.
Thank you, Dr. Davey. Any more questions? All right, then let's go into our discussion and deliberation of the matter. And Dr. Stenhoff, since you are the lead, do you want to get us started?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So as Dr. Davey summarized in through questioning, we obviously were missing the documentation. The licensure process application was started, and attempts to gain the application fee. One, were thwarted by the request to not pay us for, it was a payment dispute, but then also it was reversed to an extent according to the documentation here, yet the board has not received this. Dr. Fiorelli, sorry about the pronunciation. What there is also, that we do have that note available here, and as she stated, it could take up to 90 days. I note the date on here is April 29th. So we have, possibly till the end of July, according to the statement made there. The other concern I have is just the amount of effort that there was to basically stop the application fee process and not follow through on the application itself. And so I just have a bit of a concern about that as well. But, I'll stop there and see if there's any other comments from fellow board members.
Thank you, Dr. Stenhoff. So in terms of discussion, this matter comes to the board with the CBA's recommendation to deny the application submitted for failure to pay the application fee and for other documentation deficiencies. So I'm sort of interested to know sort of the reaction to those two components. The failure to pay the application fee is one component, and then for documentation deficiencies is the other. Dr. Davey.
Yes, so I think I'll speak first to the application fee. It does appear in the last PDF or the last page of the PDF packet that on April 29th that the bank, based on Ms. Fiorelli's request, withdrew the claim of the charges and advised that the charges were valid as of 5/13. And so it looks like that will post, and that most likely, barring any other kind of hiccups, that will be reestablished and deposited back into the banks or back into our account, which I think solves problem number one. The issue was before that board staff had done the work and had been in correspondence and was adjudicating this process, and therefore the application claim is valid. So I think with this, I'm willing to move beyond the failure payment. As I sit here and kind of listen to, the issue around failure to provide documentation, we have two options. One, right, we can deny it because we never got everything, or we can allow her to withdraw it. The reason we were not allowing withdrawal, if my memory serves me correctly, and Dr. Stenhoff, please correct me if I'm misspeaking, was that we were not going to deny it until we have the fee dispute resolved. Because as soon as we allowed, the withdrawal, we had no jurisdiction over the matter. And so we were holding it for that purpose. And Ms. Michelson, if you have anything else you'd like to add, or Dr. Stenhoff.
Mr. Chair, Dr. Davey, I don't have any further addition to David.
Thank you. Dr. Cadrino?
Is it possible to table a decision until we receive the fee? I don't know who would know the answer to that.
I'm looking to Dr. Stenhoff and Dr. Davey on that because, it's a CBA issue.
Yeah, I mean, and I would look at Ms. Galvin, but I think that if I was going to make a statement around that, I think it would be something to the effect of upon the $350 being verified that we would allow the withdrawal of the application. And that way we're not having the table come back, that we would just set that in motion.
Is that a motion, Dr. Davey?
I believe it is.
I'll second.
All right, I think that was Mr. Nguyen. There is a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Could you repeat the motion, please?
Oh, sorry, was it Dr. Stenhoff?
It was Dr. Stenhoff, Mr. Chair. But
yeah,
that's...
sorry. Yes, second.
I'll gladly share a voice with Mr. Nguyen.
Dr. Katerina, my motion was that as soon as we verify that the fee has been redeposited into our bank account, at that point we will allow the applicant to withdraw her application.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I will second that motion.
Thank you. So there is a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Yeah, I'll just say, that's an elegant way to resolve all of these two issues that we have. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed. The motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Fiorelli, for being here. So let's go to agenda item number 9, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the following psychologist applications for ECCC only and supervised temporary license with ECCC. I'll note for the record that Dr. Seidman is recused from both applications and Dr. Caterino is the lead. So Dr. Caterino, do you want to provide a summary to the board?
Yes, this is coming to the board because Dr. Seidman is recused because we only have two members on the application committee. So Dr. Christina Horner has graduated from NAU in a clinical psychology program, which is accredited on contingency. She had a National Psychology Training Consortium of over 2,000 hours and is at the Mental Health Center of America. She has a postdoc residency, which began in August of 23. She has several practica. She has two recommendations and a self-query form. I think that it would be okay to approve this for ECCC and a supervised temporary license.
Thank you, Dr. Caterino. Any questions for Dr. Caterino for either application? Hearing none, is there any discussion or motion? Well, I'll venture to make a motion to approve the applications for Christina Horner and Juan Gonzalez.
Dr. Gonzalez. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. For Christina Horner, we approve the application for ECCC.
A second.
There's a second by Dr. Stewart. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed, the motion carries. And then 9B, Dr. Katrina. Thank you.
Okay, this is for Juan Gonzalez Saidi. He graduated from Carlos Albizu University in Puerto Rico with a doctorate in clinical psychology in December of 23. That is an APA-approved graduate program. He had an internship at COPA in August 22, July 23, with over 2,000 hours, which is APA-approved, and a postdoc at 761 hours. He originally applied for licensure, but I noticed that he didn't have the 3,000 hours, so we asked him to go in this category. He does now have two references. There was an error that was corrected, and he does have, not on his part, and he does have a self-query form, so I would approve, I would request approval also for him to seek for EPPP and licensure, temporary supervised licensure.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Katerina? And I see Dr. Gonzalez is here. Thank you for being here. Is there any discussion or motion?
I did want to ask Dr. Gonzalez, sure. Had you not realized that you need 3,000 hours? Is that why you originally applied for licensure?
Good morning. No, it was actually a mistake. I misread the information. I meant to go for immediately for the temporary licensure, and it was my first time in the application process. I just clicked that one, and then, well, when I got the email from Kathy, I was like, oh my gosh, did I really just do that?
No, that was the question I wanted to ask you at the application committee. No, but no, that's fine. It's a lot of paperwork to do, so thank you.
I appreciate the question. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd
like to make a motion.
Yes, please.
Ready for that. A motion that we approve Dr. Juan Gonzalez's application to sit for the EPPP and for temporary supervised licensure.
Second.
Okay.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? None opposed, the motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. Gonzalez.
Thank you.
All right, number 10, discussion, consideration, and possible action relating to consideration of possible merit-based incentive pay for board staff. Ms. Michelson, will you please provide a summary of this matter to the board?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The board may recall in prior years that Ms. Pakanon and I have requested that the board authorize us to issue merit-based incentives known as spot incentives to qualifying staff for their performance and hard work. The parameters of these incentives are outlined in the Arizona State Personnel System Handbook. But this year's request is slightly different than what the board has seen. In April, we received notification that these one-time incentive strategies, in addition to other compensation strategies, are on pause until further notice due to the funding shortfall for fiscal year 2024. And so this pause applies to all state agencies, including the 90-10 boards. The memorandum that we did receive about this is included in your file for this agenda item, if you would like to reference. We have not received any updates since April that the pause has been lifted, and there are, of course, only 3 weeks left in the fiscal year. So we are making this request to the board that in the unlikely event that the pause is lifted prior to June 30th, that the board allow us to issue these incentives to staff. With that in mind, I do just want to make, I want to briefly recognize our staff that are present today, Ms. Folks, Ms. Malice, Ms. Poe. You know, it's been acknowledged that their workload has increased over the years and there's been various challenges along the way, but they have always remained dedicated, flexible, efficient, and always professional. And so, as I said before, we are a small but mighty team of five. And so I very appreciate everything that they do. And of course, I can't exclude Ms. Galvin. She has always been helpful over the years. And she's definitely included in this team. And, you know, I ask her hundreds of questions and she always responds, you know, without complaining. So I just want to thank our staff for all that they do. So that's all that I have, but please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you.
It's Michaelson, and I'll second your sentiment about the mighty team of five. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've looked to all of you for help and guidance and support, and you know, it's a truly incredible team that we have. So, any discussion or motion, Dr. Catrino, did you have your hand up? You're muted.
That was the clapping reaction.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm not that tech savvy. I do appreciate it.
It's just right next to the question, raising hand.
any further discussion? I'll say, you know, I think in the event that the stay is lifted, I think we should allow our board staff to go to the maximum extent of spot incentives that is possible under the statutes and the rules.
Second.
All right, that's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? None opposed, the motion carries. That takes us to number 11, new agenda items for future meetings. Dr. Catrino.
I just wanted to know, I didn't see a way to include that form that we're supposed to use on rating, you know, the severity of any complaints for this meeting. Am I correct? Were we supposed to use that form for this meeting?
Dr. Catarina, are you referring to the complaint rubric? That's just a resource the board members can use going forward for any meeting when reviewing complaints.
Yeah, none of these seem to rise to that. Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any items for future meeting agendas? All right, hearing none, this has to be a record. It's 9:12 a.m. and I exercise my prerogative to adjourn.
Don't tell Heidi about this. If I tell her, it
wins. Heidi leaves and we get through in an hour.
Yeah, I don't want her to take it personally.
It's Mr. Dinar's leadership that did it.
I can guarantee you this never
happened. No, hardly.
On my watch. Yeah, this never happened. I watched Dinar.
I did my best.
Well, just as a reminder, maybe the July meeting might not be as short as this one because there are items that are coming up. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Appreciate it. Okay.